Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And a reminder to be listening at the top of the hour, your next chance to win VIP passes to our Game 3 watch party right up here in our Verizon Artist Lounge on Friday. Going to be a lot of fun. Fajita Pete's. Fajita Pete's always comes through with way more than enough fajita, delicious fajita meat and fixins and everything else Mike when they come up here.
Yeah, Mike and Cy Fair owns one up in Copperfield, and he's a huge Sports Radio 610 listener and a very intelligent Houston sports fan.
He is.
He knows things.
He does.
He texts in with some pretty useful stuff at times, and then I pass it off as my own, and he's cool about it. That's a really cool thing. A lot of times I don't even credit him.
That's a good friend right there.
He's like my own little producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He feeds you hot takes, and then he also gets you fajitas as well.
Weren't you telling me about somebody you know that knows A-Rod that will text A-Rod things during broadcasts?
No, I think you told me about that.
No, I didn't. Somebody was telling us about that.
Yeah,
then.
Someone else was telling us. Oh, yeah, right. I forget who was.
Oh, I know now. We'll talk about it later. Somebody that knows. Okay, so A-Rod has a friend. A-Rod has a friend that's kind of like a business dude. Just some guy he met, and he's a successful business person. I imagine A-Rod probably has a roster full of successful business people that he leans on for advice.
Right.
Warren Buffett, for instance. But this non-Warren Buffett friend will just text him things. He's not a baseball guy. He's a business guy. He'll text A-Rod things during broadcasts, and then like 3 minutes later, A-Rod will make this point that this just dude, this bro, gives him. And it's pretty cool for the guy. And I almost think that that's part of why A-Rod comes off more relatable on TV. I think he's actually getting fed a lot of stuff from actual human beings that's more relatable. Instead of taking like the hardcore baseball aspect, A-Rod does a good job of kind of touching on the emotion of the moment and stuff in a way that I didn't anticipate. He does some things that I think I almost don't want him to talk about any of the actual technical stuff because sometimes he botches it so badly. But the actual human side of it is where he's surprised people. I think he's got a whole cast of people that are helping him out with that side.
Do you have any friends or listeners that text you on your phone, not to the text line, to your personal phone during the show with little factoids or opinions from time to time?
Drew Shirley, who used to be my producer at KHOU, he just went back to straight lawyering now, but he's still a bright guy. He texts me stuff from time to time. There's a few people, I don't want to miss anybody, that text me things. A lot of people in media and whatnot, and former players will text me. My wife is probably my best, though, because she doesn't couch anything. She'll
hold back and critique you at the same time, probably.
She's careful about critiquing me while I'm on air, but she was a coach, so she sees things in a different, especially when it comes to baseball and basketball, because she coached softball and coached basketball. Yeah. When it comes to certain things in those sports, she points things out to me as a coach that I would have forgotten.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good to have someone.
And now I never give her credit.
Yeah.
And that's part of the deal, though. She knows it. She doesn't.
So is this you giving her credit right now?
Oh, yeah, I give her credit, like, just not in the moment.
Gotcha.
And no, actually, I do give her credit.
Yeah, you do.
I did. I call her.
She's
the old,
awesome.
I call her the old ball coach.
She deserves credit.
Yeah, I give her credit in the moment quite a few times. Yeah, I shouldn't say never.
Shout out to Brandy Payne.
Good job, Brandy.
Yeah.
She's not listening.
That's okay. I guess what we're talking about here, Seth, as we segue, is your circle of trust and my circle of trust and the Astros. I think going into this World Series, probably. I think A.J. Hinch probably has a circle of trust. Astro fans probably have a circle of trust. There are 25 men that are going to go try to get a World Series championship, and yet I would say I don't know that I trust all 25 of those men to positively contribute to this endeavor after the Yankee series. Before we get into the Astros circle of trust, one player who will be in the lineup, who isn't necessarily inside that circle of trust right now, but he will be batting seventh, is Yordan Alvarez. A.J. Hinch confirmed it yesterday.
Yeah, he's going to DH and bat seventh tomorrow. You know, I believe in Yordan. I know I hit for him at the end of game six in the ALCS with the bases loaded against Britain. That's not an indictment of my belief in him or the fact that we don't think he could have done well. We had a terrific matchup with Diaz, but we get to wipe the slate clean. He gets to start all over again in the World Series, and he's going to be facing some elite pitching. We need him to be good to be at our best, and I look forward to him DH in both game one and two. We'll see what happens when we get to Washington.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, AJ.
That's okay.
I think that I, when he says it's not an indictment of Yordan that it was a good matchup with Diaz, I guess by that he just means I'm not doing it saying that I hate him or anything, but it is a little bit of an indictment. If Yordan was hitting the way he was in the regular season, you're not taking him out there. You don't give a damn what the matchup is.
Right.
You're leaving Yordan in there. So maybe indictment's too harsh a word, but it was pretty obvious at that point, okay, this is for all the peanuts, and we're not messing around anymore. Diaz is gonna come in here.
And Yordan strikes me as somebody who's mature enough to realize that. You know, he was, during the season, he was a mature hitter. There's no doubt about that. He was doing things at a level that you didn't see a normal 22-year-old doing in terms of taking pitches, hitting bad pitches, being selective at the plate. He was very advanced. That's what makes this postseason so confounding, Seth, and so confusing for people, is that I think he looks like a lot of people expected him to look in August.
Right.
Right? After the league kind of had a little film on him, had a chance to watch him hit for a month or so. What we're seeing now in the postseason, I think most folks expected to see at some point about 6 or 8 weeks after he was called up from the minor leagues.
He'd had some moments early on where he started to chase a little, but it was also coincided when his knee was bothering him. So I think that was easy to, and then he corrected it. Yeah. And he got done with it. And I guess that's what surprised me even in the ALCS, was that I thought he would correct it as the playoffs went along. I thought that he'd kind of tighten everything up. And he just hasn't. I think can we draw a correlation to Springer in the ALCS in 2017 and Yordan in the ALCS?
The only thing I would say about that is Springer had been in the league already for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like, he'd been through some highs and lows.
Yordan's been here not even 4 months yet.
Yeah.
Yordan's at a point, Seth, for me this postseason where I've kind of written him off. Yeah. Like, if they get something out of him, then cool. But when he steps up to the plate tonight, batting seventh as the DH, I am not expecting Yordan Alvarez to have a hard hit ball off of Max Scherzer.
Plus, I mean, Springer had been 3 for 26, was it? I mean, Yordan's 1 for 22
and
in
just
this series.
And isn't even making good contact.
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, he's chasing things out of the zone. Like, he looks lost.
Yeah.
He looks lost. So Yordan not in the circle of trust.
Maybe it's just, okay, so for Yuli, it was that conversation with Carlos Beltran that set him straight. Maybe we need Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran is working for the...
Is it the Yankees?
Yankees? It's the Yankees, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe now that they're out. Maybe now they're out. Maybe we can... Yeah, just
maybe, like, maybe we can rent him out. Like,
hey, remember when you made those allegations about whistling that were unfounded? How about you do us a solid and have Carlos come talk to Yordan?
Yeah, that would be good. You know, like how CBS rents out Jay Billis for the NCAA tournament every year. He's an ESPN guy, but he works with CBS and TNT during the, or A-Rod. A-Rod's an ESPN guy, and they let Fox use him during the World Series on the studio show. Maybe they'll rent Carlos Beltran. Maybe they'll let him freelance on an hourly basis as a hitting therapist.
Yeah, hitting therapist. Yeah. I like that.
So, circle of trust for the Astros. I kind of went through this the other day, and, you know, usually it winds up being about 8 to 10 guys that I really, truly trust at this point in the postseason. Starting rotation, which is really down to 3 guys for the Astros. It's Verlander, Cole, and Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your circle of trust for Verlander? Are they all inside the circle of trust, or is it just Verlander and Cole?
Verlander and Cole at this point are my circle of trust.
Me too. Greinke,
I desperately want him to. He's not knocking at the door because, frankly, that would be too much emotion for him to show. So he's just kind of standing out there with a dour look on his face, waiting to be let in.
Physically like, showing the desire to be let in somewhere is too much for him emotionally right now.
His Belichickian press conference attitude and demeanor, which I find I like, because he's not just doing it because he's a jerk. He's got issues in these situations, yeah. And that's just how he handles it. I'd love him to be able to just get a medical excuse from those press conferences. He's got a verifiable medical condition, and he doesn't need to be up in those situations.
It's called short answer-itis.
This is what I hope. I hope that the fact that he's a good hitter helps get him in his comfort zone. It's one other thing to perhaps distract him or keep him focused away from the pitching side of things while he's out there. Maybe he'll be in his comfort zone that he has these at-bats to think about, too. So I think with that, he can get into my circle of trust. Maybe only in Washington, but still a circle nonetheless.
Bullpen. What's our bullpen circle of trust right now?
Oh, let's see. Is Osuna in your circle of trust?
He's not. He gave up a two-run homer to tie up Game 6.
Do we know of Presley's knee? Is his knee okay?
We'll find out today. A.J. Hinch talked about that yesterday and said we'll find out today. They sounded optimistic about it, but they don't have to submit the roster till later on today. Well, and actually, who knows? Maybe they have it out there. We should check Twitter. Will Harris is at the forefront of the circle of trust right now in the bullpen.
Yeah.
He is at the top of the list of the circle of trust from out of the bullpen right now. Will Harris. I would say if Presley is on the roster, Seth, then that means he's healthy enough to pitch. And based on his two outings in games 4 and 6 of the ALCS, getting those two tough outs in game 4 and then getting the out in game 6,
yep,
to get out of that inning, I think in the 5th inning, Presley is back in the circle of trust, much like Focker in Meet the Parents.
What about Joe Smith?
Joe Smith, outside the circle
outside
of trust.
Outside of the circle
right
of trust, yeah. Just not quite the one outing.
He's not Yordan distance outside of it, but he's outside of it right now.
What about Urquidy? Urquidy was never in my circle of trust, and it's not because of anything about him in particular. It's that he's young and he's unproven. He hasn't earned his way into the circle of trust.
Not in the circle of trust for me.
No, not in the circle of trust.
Yeah, Urquidy.
Josh James.
Josh James, not in the circle of trust, even though he is team sleep apnea cured.
It's interesting here. You know what they would do with Ken Rosenthal is they throw to Ken Rosenthal to tell you the story you already know yourself as an Astros fan.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear his version of it.
Right.
Because it was largely, I felt like every time that Rosenthal told a story about the Astros, and I'm not criticizing him for telling those stories, he's talking to a national audience. Yeah. It's kind of like when you read, it's kind of like when you watch a movie about a book that you've read, you feel like they leave too much out. So even though Rosenthal only has 40 seconds to tell this story, I felt like he didn't do the Josh James story enough justice. He kind of made it sound for a little bit almost. I'm like, I hope he doesn't get cut off here by a home run or something, because it sounds like steroids at first. He's like, well, Josh James, all of a sudden, out of nowhere,
you're right,
starts throwing. He was throwing 90. All of a sudden, he's throwing 99.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, please, nothing big happened in the game, because people need to hear that this was because of his sleep apnea. But I don't think he actually explained well enough that it was all of a sudden because he was sleeping better that his velocity increased.
If you know the story already, you're right. I was listening to it. I'm like, Ken Rosenthal's kind of butchering this thing right now. Brad Peacock is in my circle of trust.
He is.
As long as he's used properly.
A.J. Hinch's trust in him, I thought. I'm going back and forth on this. I thought Brad Peacock should have been used for one inning. I thought he was going to be the opener just because he had only pitched 1 1/3 innings since coming back. This is a nerve issue. You just don't know how he's going to react necessarily to extended use. He'd been used the day before, and I know he looked great through those two innings. I wanted to treat him with kid gloves.
Yeah.
But he's in my circle of trust for one inning.
For one inning.
Yes.
Am I missing anybody from the bullpen? Did we hit everybody from the bullpen?
Did we Rondon? Did you talk?
No,
Rondon?
We didn't mention Rondon. Rondon and Abreu, not in the circle of trust. When you're the guys who are getting left behind in a bullpen game to be used in case it goes extra innings, you're not in the circle of trust.
Abreu, just same thing.
Yeah, Abreu. Yeah. All right. So let's rapid fire these. Seth and I are constructing the Astros circle of trust everyday lineup circle of trust right now. Altuve, obviously.
Yeah.
Is Springer in the circle of trust?
You know who's in my circle of trust just for what he's used for? Jake Marisnyk. Marisnyk for what your expectations are. But he hit .333 in that series, by the way.
Marisnyk is in your circle of trust.
He's
in the circle of trust for every single woman in Houston as well.
I know. He'll find your circle of trust. Yes. I want to face first. Michael Brantley, because of the diving catch.
Back in the circle of trust.
Because of a little bit of a reemergence at the plate. Yes, Michael Brantley in my circle of trust.
Brantley back in the circle of trust.
He's not himself yet, but he's a lot more like a viable batter.
Springer and Bregman statistically were not good in the Yankees series.
No,
but
they will
always be in the circle of trust.
They're in the permanent circle of
Circle of trust for Springer and Bregman. Carlos Correa.
Circle of trust. Walk-off circle of trust.
Okay. Yeah.
And defensive playmaker.
You know what? Defensively, that gets that him
double,
in the
you know,
of
we,
trust.
I don't think we even talked about the double play there and just the brilliance of that
the
play.
The three defensive plays. Reddick,
yeah.
The double play with Correa and Altuve, and the double play with Brantley.
Mm-hmm.
Huge plays. Huge plays in that game. All right, so the Payne and Pendergast circle of trust is as follows. Verlander, Cole, Harris, Presley if healthy, Peacock, Altuve, Marisnyk, because Seth thinks he's handsome.
Brantley. No, it's because of his brilliant fielding.
I wrote because you think he's handsome. Maybe that was me projecting.
It's part of it. It's related.
Brantley, Springer, Bregman, Correa.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Did I miss
it? That's a pretty
damn
big.
Oh, what about Yuli?
Oh, yeah, Yuli, Circle of Trust.
How do we leave Yuli out of the Circle of Trust? Yuli, I actually tweeted that. Yuli was outside the Circle of Trust till the three-run homer in Game 6. Mm-hmm. That got him back in for me.
Mm-hmm.
You can work your way back into the Circle of Trust, as Fokker knows.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.